40 greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's kick off in Gabon's northern town of Oyem. It's one of four venues for the upcoming Africa Cup of Nations football tournament. The three other places where matches will be played are Franceville in southeastern Gabon and the western seaports of Port-Gentil and Libreville, the capital. As the country gets ready to host African football's premier competition, local businesses are hoping for a much-needed boost to the economy. Moki Edwin Kinzika reports from Oyem, Gabon.
This song supporting the national team of Ivory Coast, nicknamed the Elephants, blasts through speakers at the Oyem Market Square in Gabon. The Africa Cup of Nations doesn't kick off for another week, but die-hard supporter Alain Touare is already here with his music. He says his wish is for the Elephants to understand that they are defending their country, Ivory Coast. He says they should forget the quarreling and squabbles that have always brought misunderstandings to the team. Ivory Coast will play here in northern Gabon alongside the teams from the Democratic Republic of Congo, Morocco and Togo in Group C. On the streets of Oyem, discussions are mainly on the bounds the tournament may bring to the economy. Slumping global commodity prices have hurt Gabon in the past 3 years. Global oil prices have dropped by about 70%. The government relied on petroleum for about half its income and about 80% of exports. Gabriel Zomo, a Gabonese-born economic analyst, says businesses and workers are feeling the impact.
Le taux d'inflation reste relativement acceptable. L'inflation dans la CEMACTO,
he says although the inflation rate has remained stable at about 3-4%, external trade has been very worrying. He says, added to that, the business climate has deteriorated as Gabon has lost 6 places in the Doing Business Index. He says Gabon, along with other Central African states, are looking to be increasingly hostile environments for investments. He says the debt level of Gabon is rising and the economy is becoming highly non-competitive. Restaurant owner Loga Agnes says she is hoping the people coming for the tournament will boost her sales. She says when there are no activities and when there are no parties, then there are no clients. She says her restaurant is only making about $40, that is about 25,000 CFA francs per day. She says now that AFCON is coming, she expects that to double and that is going to help her. But people are also thinking more long term. She and other business owners hope that AFCON 2017 will revive interest in Gabon as a tourist destination. Billions of people around the world are expected to tune in to watch the finals, giving the players and Gabon a chance to shine. The country will use 4 venues at Libreville, Franceville, Port-Gentil, and Oyem for the 16-team tournament. Moki Edwin Kinzika for VOA News, Oyem, Gabon.
Thanks, Moki. Group C matches will kick off January 16th in Oyem. Togo will take on defending Nations Cup champion Ivory Coast in the opening group match, and that will be followed by a game between Morocco and the Democratic Republic of Congo. The 16-team African showpiece will officially get underway Saturday, January 14th, in the capital, Libreville. That's where Gabon will host Guinea-Bissau in the opening Group A match, and that will be followed by a game between Burkina Faso and Cameroon. On Sunday, January 15th, Group B will be in the Nations Cup spotlight with two matches in Franceville. Algeria will play Zimbabwe, and that will be followed by a game between Tunisia and Senegal. Zimbabwe's preparations have been disrupted by a pay dispute, as we hear now from reporter Samson Omale. Hello, Samson.
Hello and good evening to you, Sonny. We begin with preparations of national team sides ahead of the 2017 AFCON, which begins this weekend in Gabon. Zimbabwe's national football team left Harare finally for the AFCON Cup of Nations on Sunday after players refused to board a flight on Saturday following a row with Zimbabwe Football Association officials over allowances and bonuses. The players are demanding for $5,000 instead of $1,000 appearance fees. The association is offering an $150 daily allowances for locally based players and $500 for foreign based players instead of $50 and $100 respectively. Coach Callisto Pasua prefers not to talk about the feud but has chosen to concentrate on getting his players in the right tactical mood for the competition.
I think on that issue we have the manager. I think he can manage on that. I, as a coach, I'm doing my job in the field, like you saw today. Everything in the field is okay.
Willard Kasendi is Zimbabwe's national team captain.
For me, yeah, it's more like the team effort. Like I said, if we're going to work as a team, we're going to get it right. And because they do have great individuals, but individuals doesn't make a team.
Elsewhere, the Democratic Republic of Congo have announced their final squad for the upcoming 2017 AFCON. The Leopards included six players who plied their trade in England, with Newcastle United defender Chancel Mbemba making the 23-man squad. Hull City centre-forward Diomaxi Mbokani is expected to lead Leopards' front line during the prestigious continental tournament. Elsewhere, Crystal Palace forward Wilfred Zaha had an impressive start to his Cote d'Ivoire career as he provided an assist in their 2-1 win against Sweden in a friendly on Sunday. After appearing in two friendly games for England, Wilfred Zaha only recently switched his international allegiance to Cote d'Ivoire. And to Tunisia, where that national team side lost 1-0 to Egypt in a warm-up game played on Sunday evening in Cairo. Tunisia is drawn in Group B alongside Senegal, Algeria and Zimbabwe, and they will play their first AFCON match on January 15th in Franceville against Senegal. And Uganda claimed a 3-1 victory over Slovakia in a friendly on Sunday in preparations for the 2017 AFCON. Ugandan coach Milutin Sredojevic says he believes in the squad he's going with to the 2017 AFCON Cup of Nations and says the players still have a lot to learn to make the impact he so desires.
It's very sad, but we are coming to national team, but players, they lack certain things that they have jumped in their football education. They have reached the playing Premier League and playing even professionally, yet certain things are missing.
And away from the Nations Cup, President Uhuru Kenyatta on Sunday gave 2 million shillings to ailing football legend Joe Kadenge. Uhuru Kenyatta visited Kadenge at his Mariakana residence in Nairobi's South B area, where the former national team player has been recuperating. And to England, where Leicester City manager Claudio Ranieri has admitted that he was pleased with his side's 2-1 win over Everton and the FA Cup, reserving special praise for Nigeria's Super Eagles duo of Ahmed Musa and Wilfred Ndidi. Musa scored twice for the Foxes in the space of 5 second-half minutes to cancel out Romelu Lukaku's earlier opener at Goodison Park in the third round. Claudio Ranieri believes that his summer signing is now beginning to adapt to the demands of English football after a slow start to life at the club. But it was Dabuton Ndidi, who signed from Genk earlier in the week, who particularly stood out for the Italian. In athletics news, South African Olympic 800-meter champion Caster Semenya married her longtime partner in Pretoria on Saturday. Semenya celebrated her 26th birthday by tying the knot with Violet Raseboya after exchanging vows during a lavish ceremony at the South African capital. In hockey news, Telkom Orange of Kenya got their title defense underway with an emphatic 5-2 win over Kata Queens of Nigeria on Sunday as the African Cup of Club Championship entered its second day at the City Park Stadium in Nairobi. And finally, Tunisia's national handball team lost 35-30 to Croatia in the second friendly warm-up match played on Sunday evening in Zagreb ahead of the Men's Handball World Championship 2017. The Tunisian handball team are in Croatia for a training camp and are expected to meet Macedonia in their first championship match on January the 12th. Tunisia were drawn in Group B at the World Championship alongside Spain, Slovenia, Iceland, Angola, and Macedonia. And that's it for the sunny side of sports for this evening. I am Samson O'Malley here in Abuja, Nigeria. It's back to you, Sonny, in Washington.
Thanks, Samson. Just ahead on the sunny side of sports, reporter Loic Youth will take a look at weekend football action in Spain's La Liga.
Warm and sporty greetings to you all, and I emphasize the warm as the snow came pouring down this weekend in DC. No better excuse for a comfy blanket, tea, and La Liga, which returned after a two-week break. Match day 17 resumed at Espanyol, who tied 1-1 with 10-man Deportivo La Coruña. World Club Cup champions Real Madrid made it 39 unbeaten by thumping Granada 5-0 at home. That streak matches Barca's, and one more win would give them the title outright. Benzema, Ronaldo, and two for Isco had the Madridistas out of sight by halftime as they sit 4 points ahead of second-place Sevilla with a game in hand. The Andalusian team had a smashing game of their own, putting four past Sociedad with no response. Wissam Ben Yedder with a hat-trick, and São Paulo's men leapfrog Barca in second, who traveled to Villarreal 24 hours later. Other Saturday results saw Las Palmas climb to 8th with a 1-0 win over Sporting Gijón, while Atletico Madrid overcame Eibar 2-0. Sunday started with a goalless draw at San Mamés between Bilbao and Deportivo Alaves. Real Betis pushed closer to safety with a 2-0 win at home to Leganés. That win snapping their two-game losing streak right before the turn of the year. Malaga's search for a victory since late November continues as they stumbled at Celta Vigo. The 3-1 win lifts Celta to 9th place on the log, while Malaga they stay in 13th. Villarreal welcomed Barcelona to the Madrigal in the weekend's top clash, and Barca looking to reclaim second spot following Sevilla's win the day before, while a win for the Yellow Submarines would have seen them climb into the top four. Well, they were on their way to those precious points after strikers Nicolas Sansone and Alexander Pato combined to give the host the lead on 50 minutes. Messi hit the post and should have had a penalty, however his brilliance was not to be stopped as he struck a free kick in the dying minutes to rescue a point for the defending champions. So Barca in third while Villarreal in fifth. The Italian Serie A was also back in action for match day 19 and Saturday's two home teams Empoli and Napoli got a full complement of points. Palermo's 1-0 reverse at Empoli deepens their relegation fears as they are 7 points adrift of their host. For Napoli, the come-from-behind 2-1 win over Sampdoria stretches their unbeaten run to 8 games, and they remain in third. The team recently completed the signing of Leonardo Pavelotti, and I suppose that's to soften the blow of long-term absentee Are Milik. Sunday had the bulk of the games with Perisic's double sealing all 3 points for Inter at Udinese. The ship has steadied for the Nerazzurri under new management as the team recovers from a disastrous first half of the season. Both teams from the capital came away with slender 1-0 wins to remain in the top four. Roma is the closest team to Juventus, while Lazio sits a point above AC Milan in fifth and a point under Napoli in third. Tight margins there. Atalanta's impressive season carried on with a resounding 4-1 win at 11th place, Chievo. Valuable point for Atalanta, who prepared to face leaders Juventus in midweek. When the teams faced earlier this season, Juve walked away 3-1 winners, but Atalanta can take courage from wins over Inter, Roma, and Napoli. AC Milan continues to look resolute as they overcame Cagliari 1-0 to stay in 5th. They are on for a Torino week as they host the team from Turin on Thursday for the Cup, then travel there the following Monday for a league tie. The Pescara-Fiorentina game was cancelled due to snow, paving the way for the weekend's last game at the home of the champions. Allegri's men dispatched of Bologna 3-0 to maintain a cushion over AS Roma. Higuain netted his 11th and 12th of the season, with Dybala's penalty seeing at the game, so the Argentine duo there making the difference. Over to England, where the Premier League took a break and gave way for the FA Cup this weekend, and as usual, there were some upsets and unexpected results, as is the magic of the Cup. League action resumed this weekend with Liverpool travelling to Manchester United, and you would not want to miss it. Well, that's all from me, Loic Q. Thank you for listening, and go ahead, Sonny.
Thanks, Loic. I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Joining us here in Studio 22 for a look at current sports social media trends is VOA's Doug Bernard. Sporty New Year's greetings, Doug.
New Year's greetings to you, Sonny, as well.
Welcome back. What's trending in the sports world on this Monday?
Well, as you were discussing in the earlier portion of the Sunny Side of Sports, soccer making big news around the world. But here in the United States, it's really now all about American football as we're marching toward the Super Bowl. That's coming up in February, on February 5th. So it's down now to 8 teams with the scores coming in from yesterday. We have 8 teams. Here's what happened yesterday. Just to go quickly over these, the Seattle Seahawks embarrassed the Detroit Lions 26-6. Detroit is now 30 years that they have lost in the playoffs, not been able to get anywhere. And of course, one of the teams famously has never won a Super Bowl championship. So a little bit of embarrassment in Motown there. The Pittsburgh Steelers downed the Miami Dolphins 30-12. I watched that game. That was a good one, because even though the Steelers really more of the sort of dominant team, I think, and certainly more seasoned of late in these kind of competitions, it was really kind of down to a wire at a certain point, but they pulled it out toward the end. The Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers handily dispatched the New York Giants, that with a score of 38-13, and the Texans just escaped a late challenge by the Oakland Raiders, 27-14. So here's what we have. This is what we're left with going into the Super Bowl. We're going to see Seattle take on Atlanta. And I'll just go through these briefly, and then we can talk a little bit about what these matchups are, because I know you must have some thoughts as well. So we're going to see Seattle versus Atlanta, and later that next week, we'll see next weekend, we'll see Houston versus New England. All right, then on Sunday, we'll see Pittsburgh challenging the Kansas City Chiefs, and Green Bay going against the Dallas Cowboys. Now, let's start out with Seattle versus Atlanta. I think this is a close matchup. Analysts are at this point giving the edge to Seattle, in part because of some of those non-tangibles. You know, the Seahawks have been there before recently.
Good, solid quarterback.
Good, solid quarterback, Russell Wilson. He's having a pretty good season. And they are a more seasoned team, but it's still, I think, you know, one to watch. There's always surprises in sports. So, you know, Atlanta, even though it's a much younger team, I think there might be some challenge left in the Falcons. So then, excuse me, the next matchup is Houston versus the New England Patriots. Now, can you guess why I'm laughing?
No.
Because I'm wondering why they're even playing this game. I mean, never say never and all that. But look, New England is so far, I should say Houston is so far outclassed by the New England Patriots, just from top to bottom, not just, you know, with Tom Brady and the team that Bill Belichick has built up there in New England, but defense, offense, special teams. This is one that you can, I think, easily go make some popcorn or dinner or something and just check the scores occasionally. So then we have the next day we're going to see Pittsburgh versus Kansas City. Now, I'm kind of a Steelers fan, I suppose you could say. And this one, I think, game is going to be a complete toss-up. They're very well-matched teams. They have very closely matched records in the general season, these two teams. But here's the thing I think that sent a shudder through social media and maybe Las Vegas bookies as well. I don't know. Ben Roethlisberger, Big Ben, who's, of course, the Steelers quarterback, he showed up yesterday with a big boot on his right foot.
Uh-oh.
Well, yeah, one of those big sort of orthopedic, you know, boots that people put on while they're healing or they're trying not to create additional stress in any fractures or potential tendon or ligament damage. Nobody knows. The team isn't saying anything, but that photo has been circulating wildly online. People, at least Steelers fans, a little nervous about that one.
Doug, you mentioned the Patriots. They'll be at home
yes.
when they play their next game. A couple of those games you mentioned earlier, Pittsburgh and Green Bay, I was getting cold just watching them on television.
Yeah.
Do you like that kind of Arctic chill football?
You know, I do. For a long time, see, I grew up in Michigan, so for a long time, you either watched Green Bay or the Lions. And the Lions, before they moved into the Pontiac Silverdome, they played outside. So it was very much like college football. You would bundle up, you'd get your hot chocolate or whatever. You'd have like big blankets on you and whatnot. And there's just something, I just love that, you know. And now it can get dangerous, but I think the people up in Green Bay are pretty well used to it.
That's true.
I'm gonna guess. So anyway, we've got some good football looking up. I'm going to say I think my favorite of the four quarterfinal matchups very quickly is just going to be Green Bay versus Dallas.
Should be a great game.
I love this game. Here you've got an old marquee, you know, star quarterback, franchise quarterback with Aaron Rodgers at Green Bay. And he's going up against a rookie, a guy named Dak Prescott, who sounds more like a senator to me. But anyway, Dak Prescott, he's a rookie. He'll be playing for Dallas. So that's just, I just love to see that old versus new.
Well, Doug, what else is trending out there in the sports world?
Well, believe it or not, it's trending still is the wrap-up of the World Juniors 2017 International Ice Hockey Competition. There were eight national teams in the quarterfinals. It's sorted down to a North American standoff between U.S. and Canada. I'm going to ask you, who do you think won out of that competition, U.S. or Canada?
I would have to go with Canada.
You would normally go with Canada. But actually, it was Team USA. I tricked you there. It was Team USA this time. They took gold, Canada took silver, and Russia downed Sweden to take the bronze. Now, interestingly, the U.S. team never won any game in that entire series by more than 1 point. So at every point along the way, people were, you know, getting ready to discount the U.S. team, but they pulled it out, some really good hockey, and a real chance to see, I think, some stars coming down the line in the next few years in the NHL.
And what is the age limit for that tournament, Doug?
It is 17.
17.
17.
Okay.
So you see some pretty young faces out there, but just amazing talent.
Doug Bernard. Thank you, Doug. And I think we'll hear from you again on Tuesday.
I hope so.
Thank you, Doug. And that wraps up the January 9th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Dan Crafton. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The United States Agency for International Development, or USAID, will provide $227.3 million in additional development assistance to support the five-year, $2.3 billion agreement signed with the Nigerian government in 2015. The aid package brings the total provided under the agreement to $702 million. The new funding will continue to help Nigeria reduce extreme poverty by stimulating economic growth, promoting a healthier, more educated population, and strengthening good governance. We are pleased to announce new funding under the agreement signed with the Nigerian government in 2015 to provide better access to education and health services and promote democracy and economic growth, said U.S. Ambassador Stuart Symington. With the Nigerian government's leadership, we know this funding will significantly improve the well-being of Nigerians, he added. In addition to development assistance funding, the United States is providing humanitarian aid to people affected by the ongoing conflict and severe food insecurity in northeastern Nigeria and throughout the Lake Chad Basin. The United States has provided more than $291 million in humanitarian assistance since fiscal year 2016 and continues to be the single largest bilateral humanitarian donor to the region. USAID partners to end extreme poverty and promote resilient, democratic societies while advancing American security and prosperity. In its partnership with Nigeria, the United States strengthens social stability through social services, supports transparent and accountable governance, promotes a more market-led economy, and enhances Nigeria's capacity as a responsible regional and trade partner. The United States is proud to work with Nigeria to promote the prosperity of the people of Nigeria and the African region.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Tuesday on Health Chat, host Lenore Modou will discuss New Year's resolution, how to stay motivated and take some important prevention steps for good health in 2017. With guest Dr. Paul Jani Edo, Head of Clinical Services, Kosawa Polyclinic in Ghana. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message or to participate in the program. We will call you back. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. For listeners to call during the show, our telephone number is 202-619-3111. Health Chat this Tuesday at 1730 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, a discussion on the challenges of political transitions in Africa, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Tanzania, and Gambia, to name a few. Right here on the next Straight Talk Africa at 1830 UTC.
Hello, Africa. This is James Brotte, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.